It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 154 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And today we're going to be talking all about the new factions coming to us soon, the Galactic Republic and the Separatist Alliance.
It's a very exciting time to be an X-Wing player right now. We're about to jump into a whole new regional season. And we've got two new factions basically coinciding with the launch of that regional season. So in this week's episode, we're going to take a look at some of the upcoming cards, primarily focusing on what the new identities are going to be for the two upcoming factions.
Right. So we're going to be focusing on what makes the Republic and the Separatist unique, what gives them their own unique feel on the table. Both these factions have, you know, quite a few very unique focuses. And I really like where they're both going from a design perspective.
And thankfully, through their recent articles, FFG has given us a pretty good idea of what these factions are bringing. So I think this is going to be a fun discussion.
All right. So our goal when we're talking about these new factions' identities is really to answer a question of, you know, there's a lot of different factions now you can play in X-Wing. We're up to seven factions. So, you know, why would you play a certain faction? It shouldn't really be the power level, because points are going to change. Really, what you want to focus in on when you're choosing a faction is, you know, what are the mechanics of the faction? What is it focusing on from a, you know, strategic play style?
And that's something that second edition X-Wing has been really trying to bring, and I think it's succeeded in some ways and hasn't quite succeeded yet in others. Looking at faction identity, that being a huge component here, coming from the first edition, which just had basically streamlined down to three factions, which now we're all the way up to those seven factions now. It's been a little bit of a challenge in the initial launch of second edition for each of the seven factions, really, to chart out its space and what elements it's good at. Some of the factions, I think, do have some strong identity. Some of them are still going to need some work. It's not clear where exactly they fall into the overarching themes of X-Wing. But one thing I think that is interesting when talking about the Separatist Alliance and the Galactic Republic is that these two factions are really brand new to the game. Whereas the other five were kind of built from the remnants of first edition. There were a lot of cards that had already been designed that we saw pretty much see a second edition conversion, whereas for the most part, all the cards we're seeing for these two new factions are basically built right from the ground up. They're brand new to the game, and because of that, we're actually seeing some new abilities and new card types.
Right, and of course, you know, when we're talking about starting from scratch, well, the Force is, of course, a new mechanic in second edition, and it's featured very prominently in both the Republic and the Separatists. We see, you know, very potent Force crew cards. They actually even get to share a Force crew card in Chancellor Palpatine.
Yeah, and I really think having this shared crew card was a great way to highlight the significance of the Force for these two factions. Palpatine's a really interesting card design, too. It also kind of highlights how it seems like they're increasing the complexity of some of these prequel era cards.
Right, and you know, Palpatine just recently got spoiled, so let's go ahead and read this card, bring everyone up to speed. We got Chancellor Palpatine. You can equip for either Republic or Separatist factions, and you have to set up with the Chancellor Palpatine side face up. He grants you, of course, one Force charge that recurs each turn, and a purple coordinate action.
And we now know that purple actions mean you have to spend a Force charge in order to perform them.
Right, and then Palpatine also has another text that reads, after you defend, if the attacker is at range 0 to 2, you may spend one Force charge. If you do, the attacker gains one stress token. And then during the end phase, you have the ability to flip Chancellor Palpatine.
And when you do flip it over, you still get the same purple coordinate and one recurring Force charge, but you get a brand new card text ability that reads, after you perform a purple coordinate action, the ship you coordinated gains one stress token. Then it gains one focus token or recovers one Force charge. So this design is actually really cool for a number of reasons. I do like the new dual side mechanics that they really highlighted in second edition. And this one's actually pretty sophisticated because you get pretty different effects on either side of this card.
Right. And the art on these two different sides of the card is really cool. Definitely tells the narrative arc of Palpatine. But of course, mechanically, this card is awesome. Force charges are great. The coordinate is great. I like that the Chancellor has a way to protect himself by discouraging attacks being shot at whatever ships he's on. And then when you need to, you can flip to Darth Sidious and get a very powerful coordinate action. Yes, you're stressing those ships, but you know the ability to recover a force charge is, of course, incredibly powerful. And I think this is the strongest card we've seen that grants the recover force token.
Yeah, I really like the duality of this card. On the Chancellor's side, you get that really cool stress control ability, but I love that you're able to flip it, because it would be a cool card on its own, even if it just granted you that ability. But being able to flip it and then change your strategy mid-game is really cool. Now, obviously, this is a one-way flip. Once Chancellor Palpatine turns into Darth Sidious, there's no going back from that. But I like that it very much changes what you're doing with the card then. You switch to more of a ace supporting ship rather than a defensive controlling ship, where you can suddenly back up whatever other pilot is flying alongside with you, maybe Darth Maul or Count Dooku, either help them recover that force charge or just get some extra modification. Basically, you get an action plus a focus token, which means you can get that focus target lock if you need it.
And, you know, we see not just Palpatine is the only good crew option. Both factions have access to pretty potent force crew cards. They also have access to a crazy amount of force user pilots. Particularly the power of their force pilots is what separates these two factions apart from all the other five factions.
And this is another way you can distinguish that these two factions have been built from the ground up. Both the Republic and the Separatists have access to multiple level 3 force users. So that's force users with 3 recurring charges. We do see that a little bit. You've got, obviously, Darth Vader has 3 force charges, and we see the force in the other 5 factions, but usually they're coming in, beyond Darth Vader, they're coming in at values of 2 or even 1. Here it seems like not only do they have those lower level force users, but they have a lot of access to the really high level force users. Again, emphasizing how significant the force is for these two factions.
And of course, we have a new mechanic coming in with Wave 3, the Strain mechanic, which we see on both of the faction-specific elite pilot talents, Dedicated or Treacherous. Strain is kind of like a tractor token in that it's going to reduce your defense die. But it's a red token, and so it's got a specific trigger for being removed. And so that trigger happens after the ship with the strain token defends. So you roll 1 fewer defense die, and then you clear your strain token.
Additionally, you can also clear it through a blue maneuver like you would with a stress token. You have that option there, so you don't have to actually suffer the effects, assuming you don't get this in mid-combat anyway. We've only seen this on a few cards between the two factions so far. Obviously, it's on both of the unique talents we've seen, Dedicated over on the Republic side, Treacherous over on the Separatist side. We also see it on the K2B4 tactical relay upgrade. And so far, I think it's interesting. I'm wondering if it's setting up a theme here, because over on the Republic side, you're using strain there as a cost for an ability. So Dedicated lets you receive a strain on whatever ship has the Dedicated upgrade to give an ally a defensive reroll. So that's a cost for the Republic. Over on the Treacherous side, or the K2B4, you're actually using it more aggressively, forcing your opponent either to take the strain by getting shot at in the bullseye or take it from preventing another ability you're using. And I think this is a really cool way to distinguish the two factions using a shared mechanic.
Absolutely. You know, the Republic getting powerful support ability, but with a pretty heavy cost, and then the Separatists dealing out it as a cool new control mechanic. Very interesting, and I think it should be a fun new addition to the game.
So some cool overarching themes being built up here for the two factions, though I think it's going to be a little more interesting if we dive into specifically what each of these new factions is bringing.
All right, so let's start with the Galactic Republic. And I think, you know, you've got to start with the Force when you're talking about a distinguishing characteristic for the Republic. This is the Force faction, it's looking like so far. we have the most level 3 Force users. We got Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Mace Windu so far. And then a whole slew of other Force pilots, all, of course, in the Jedi Starfighter.
And this really makes sense thematically for the game. Obviously, they have the biggest pool of existing characters that would be Force sensitive in the Star Wars universe for this time period. We are obviously seeing an emphasis in both factions of the Force, but the fact that there are just so many more named recognizable characters that we know have the Force. Over on the Sith side, there's just a handful in this time period. I'm expecting to see most of those appear, but I think just the sheer volume of available characters means that the Republic will always have the higher emphasis on the Force.
Right, and we see, you know, mechanically even more of an emphasis on the Force in that the Republic gets a unique Force power upgrade card in Battle Meditation. Battle Meditation grants a purple coordinate, and you cannot coordinate to limited ships. So specifically to non-limited ships or generic ships. While you perform a purple coordinate action, you may coordinate one additional friendly non-limited ship of the same type. Both ships must perform the same action. I mean, so this is pretty powerful, getting two coordinates for the price of one. Yes, you have to spend a force token, but wow, what an incredible support ability your Jedi Starfighter can provide.
And I think this creates an interesting design distinction, a path that the developers had taken. I think it would be really easy to make all the Jedis really focused on being kind of ace pilots, even though that's not necessarily what Jedis are supposed to do. And I think we still will see that from a lot of the pilots, but it's cool to see the opportunity there to shift the focus away from the ships flying on their own to really working in coordination either with other Force-sensitive pilots or just with your clone trooper wingmates.
Right, and when we look at a lot of the Jedi Starfighter pilots, a lot of them do have those support abilities. So you can throw Battle Meditation on and go for a very supporting Jedi Starfighter. And I think this sort of starts to get at what the overall faction identity is. And I think that's really a support-focused faction. You know, we see it in their Force side with Battle Meditation. And then we look at the wingmate synergy. And then we go back to the faction-specific talent card dedicated. You know, we see this support happen in another way.
And we've seen synergy between ships be a focus of other factions, particularly the Rebel faction. I think what makes the Republic interesting here is that there's a lot of emphasis on flying more in formation, specifically regards to the mechanics. So we see things on cards like Dedicated, that Republic-only talent upgrade, and ships like Sinker, where they really put an emphasis on abilities that trigger when ships are in your left and right peripheral arcs. So you're not necessarily shooting out of those segments, but they allow other ships to get abilities based off of that.
Right, and then Dedicated also plays up the interaction between non-limited and limited ships. So, you know, where Battle Meditation could only coordinate to limited ships, well, Dedicated can only be put on non-limited ships and, you know, either supports ships with the Dedicated card or limited ships.
And while that's a defensive upgrade, we also see this kind of wingmate synergy being used with the ARC 170 pilot Sinker, who's got the ability, while a friendly ship at range 1 to 2 in your peripheral arcs performs a primary attack, it may reroll one attack die.
Right, and so what's interesting about these peripheral arcs is, you know, if your ships are in a line, it's pretty easy to chain these back and forth between the two of them. So you could have a torrent fighter with the Dedicated talent protecting Sinker, who's then in return boosting the damage output of your torrent. And what I like about this, you know, new way to do a wingmate style synergy, you know, instead of just need to be at range one, it's going to really create specific formation styles that will feel, you know, very Republic only. I think it's going to give the Republic, you know, a unique way to play that support synergy, keep all my ships together sort of play style.
And while I'd say the primary focuses of the Republic faction will be on the Force and on those wingmate synergies, we do kind of see a peripheral focus or a secondary focus on just general support abilities. You've got some cool pilots like Plo Koon, who's able to grant some support abilities to your other ships. And I think that's really cool to see, whereas you're probably only going to have, you know, a couple ships that are going to be available as maybe aces or more durable platforms. Having those support abilities either for your non-limited ships or for, you know, Anakin Skywalker or Obi-Wan Kenobi or whoever's going to be your ace, I think is really going to benefit this faction overall. And I think we'll tend to see some more mixed arrangements of ships rather than a set of three or four ships all with the same focus.
Right. I think the Republic is going to play, you know, protect the queen strategies very well, where you have your one ace and then you have, you know, some generics with dedicated and then perhaps another Jedi Starfighter or ARC 170 giving out even more support abilities.
You always have to go to the chess analogies.
All right. Moving on to the Separatist Alliance.
Yeah, this one where we see an immediate, just by virtue of the ships that are available, a pretty immediate focus on swarms. We've got that Vulture class fighter, which is going to be really focused on swarms, given all the, you know, limited, semi-limited ships that are available with some really cool abilities.
Right, with the Vultures, we see, you know, a change to, you know, limited and non-limited, the kind of middle ground where you can have three of a ship and no more. Which should lower the point cost of these ships so you can fit even more of them into a list. And then we also just see a lot of upgrade cards supporting these swarm strategies.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of these too, even just in the preview articles we've seen so far. We've got that Separatist exclusive talent Treacherous, which comes with one charge and reads, while you defend, you may choose a ship obstructing the attack and spend one charge. If you do, cancel one hit or crit result, and the ship you chose gains one strain token. After a ship at range 0 to 3 is destroyed, recover one charge.
Right, and what I like about Treacherous as a swarm upgrade is that it's not really very direct in saying, oh, this is good with swarms, until you think about it on the table. And the more ships you have, the more chances that one of your ships is going to be obstructing the attack. And it lets you put your vulture droids, you know, in front of either your Bell Blab or Sith Infiltrator that you're trying to protect, and really discourage your opponent for attacking your more expensive ship.
But you can also use this ability a lot more aggressively too, since it doesn't specify whether it's a friendly or enemy ship. If your opponent attacks you and one of their own ships is obstructing it, not only will you get to reduce that incoming damage, but you'll also be able to give a strain token to one of your opponent's ships.
Right, and then of course that last line of text, after a ship at range 0 to 3 is destroyed, recover that one charge. Well, you know, if you look at the hit points of a Vulture class droid, not very good. You know, 3 hull protected by 2 agility. They're not going to live too long. And so, you know, having lots of ships means you can get a lot of destroy triggers.
And while I'm usually, from a competitive angle, not such a huge fan of abilities that require ships to be destroyed to trigger, it's actually okay to see them as a rider here on abilities that will already work on their own. It's not wholly dependent on a ship being destroyed to get some usefulness out of this. And if you're already going to be running a bunch of these really cheap ships, it's really likely that, you know, if your ships get destroyed, which will probably happen in a lot of games, it's actually nice to see some perks come out of that. We see this same rider show up on the Grievous Crew card. The Grievous Crew card basically lets you, it has one charge, you can spend it to cancel down one damage if you're going to receive two or more damage. But you can recover it when friendly ships get destroyed, which encourages you to run whatever ship has that Grievous Crew on it with a swarm of these smaller, cheaper fighters.
So swarms is definitely the main playstyle that we're seeing with the Separatists, but they also just have access to some really unorthodox tactics. I think more so than we really see in any other faction.
Yeah, you can like do some really kind of almost game-breaking rules changes. Over on the Vulture class droid, we see the Grappling Struts dual-sided card. It's full of card text, so I'm not going to read all of it. But basically, when you pass over an asteroid or debris cloud, you can stop your ship and have it stand on that debris cloud and basically sit there and operate, rotate each turn. this prevents a whole new angle to the game where, you know, we're usually one of the go-to factors is that, well, the ships have to move, or if they move, they're going to bump and not get actions. Well, this kind of goes around that part of the game and is really going to make the people playing against these separatist lists have to change their strategy up.
Right. I think that's just going to be one other way my opponent can use my big rocks against me. The separatists also have access to the DRK-1 probe droid, which this card really surprised me.
Yeah, the probe droid is a device upgrade with two charges, and it enables you to basically launch or drop a probe droid token, which kind of functions like a ship. It comes with a initiative zero pilot card, basically. It's got three agility and one hull, and some really cool effects. So while a friendly ship locks an object or jams an enemy ship, it may measure range from you, from the probe droid. After an enemy ship overlaps you, that ship rolls one attack die. On a focus result, you suffer one damage, which would blow you up. Basically, they run right through you. And then during the system phase, at your initiative, you may relocate using the two banks or two straight templates.
Right, and then if you look at the actual probe droid base itself, it's got a lot of different ways it looks like you can maneuver out that two straight or two bank in really any direction.
And this creates some really interesting opportunities. So it can be used for either acquiring target locks for your ships or jamming enemy ships. So even though this thing is pretty weak, if you're able to slip it past your opponent's firing arcs or get it into position so that you can at least get some target locks in before it's destroyed, you can really shake up a strategy here, especially with those target locks.
Well, and you know, when we're looking at jam, you know, usually the thing that hinders a ship's jamming ability is, you know, being able to consistently be at range one of that ship that you want jammed when you need it to be jammed. And so, you know, being able to be at multiple places at once, you know, you have your Sith infiltrator over on one side of the board and then a probe droid over on the other side of the board, you're going to have a lot of options to jam your opponent that way.
I really am actually interested in a jamming strategy with this droid because you can do some cool stuff. Because we know over on the Sith Infiltrator, which is a pretty sweet ship on its own, you have access to the Scimitar title, which not only gives you the ability to cloak, but it also grants you the jam action. So you can do some cool stuff like drop this probe behind your opponent's ship. And if they're, you know, somewhat slow moving, you could for multiple turns have that thing kind of chase after them, stay in range to jam, and then just keep laying down that jam tokens with your scimitar.
I think the scimitars with these probe droids are going to be pretty fun.
Another big part of the Separatist faction is because so much of their fighting force is comprised of droids, we actually see a lot of calculate actions and, not surprisingly, a lot of calculate token synergy between ships and upgrade cards.
Right, and so far, every ship we've seen for the Separatists has a pilot option that has access to calculate tokens on its action bar, which is crazy. No other faction has that level of access to the calculate tokens. And then we also see a lot of calculate token synergies. We have Kraken, one of the Separatist tactical relay cards that grants a calculate action and then reads, during the end phase, you may choose up to three friendly ships at range 0-3. If you do, each of these ships does not remove one calculate token.
And this obviously pairs well if you're going with a bunch of Vulture-class droids, being able to set those up one turn in advance, have them all with calculate tokens ready to go so that the following turn they can take a calculate action again and either have two calculate tokens or maybe take a target lock to fire off some of those energy shell charges.
Right. You know, energy shell charges, a calculate token missile. Very cool.
Doesn't do a lot of damage, but since you're able to reload it without your ship needing the reload action, it works pretty well.
And of course, the Vulture class and Hyena class droid fighters both have the networked calculations ship ability, which reads, while you defend a perform an attack, you may spend one calculate token from a friendly ship at range 0-1 to change one focus result to an evader hit. So all these droid fighters get to just share their calculate tokens. So of course, any way to get more calculate tokens or hold on to them is very good.
Well, and what this really does is it kind of helps compensate for the pretty low hit point totals or low defensive values for both the Vulture class and the Hyena class droid ships, where, you know, they're not terribly durable, but the fact that they have a whole pool of friendly ships that they can pull tokens from for their defense means that they'll survive that much longer. You know, if they didn't have the network calculations, they'd just be limited down to maybe their one or two calculate tokens in a round, and they'd fall apart pretty quickly.
Right, and it allows this swarm playstyle to have comparable action efficiency to, you know, some of the ace factions, you know, like the Resistance or the Republic with all of their force charges. You know, being able to put your calculate tokens where they're needed most, I think really allows these Vulture droids to be on par with everybody else.
I was really glad to see some more recent articles focusing on the Separatist faction, because I was super excited for the Republic right from the start, but I wasn't nearly as excited about the Separatist stuff. But now we're starting to see some really cool cards. There is definitely a focus on bullseye mechanics. So a lot of the Separatist ship, either the Swarm ones or not, have a focus on bullseyes. We've got like the Vulture class droid Precise Hunters. You can have up to three copies of the ship. And while it performs an attack, if the enemy's in the bullseye, you can reroll one of your blank dice. So you got some built-in offensive modification.
Right. You got the Tactical Relay TV-94. Which, you know, can add a hit result by spending a calculate token if you're rolling two attack dice within a bullseye firing arc.
Yeah, that is a really cool upgrade because it basically focuses only on those weaker attack dice ships. So like your Vulture class droids or your Hyena class bombers, they're only going to have two attack dice. So being able to add a hit result by spending a calculate token, that's a pretty cool modification, especially combined with that networked calculations where you can spend one of your neighbor's calculate tokens to modify your attack and then spend your own calculate token to add a hit result.
Right, so I think that sort of wraps up the Separatists. You know, mechanically, they have a lot of access to calculate and bullseye matters cards. They got the weird unorthodox strategies of the, you know, the probe droids or the grappling struts. And then, of course, that very main focus on swarm playstyle.
Yeah, I'm definitely more excited for this faction than I was when it was first announced. All right, so there's a quick look at the two upcoming factions. These are supposed to come out by the end of quarter one of this year, so that means by the end of March we'll see these. I'm expecting hopefully sometime either before regional season really starts or right around Adepticon. But lots of cool new ships coming, lots of cool new models that are all completely brand new to X-Wing.
Yeah, let us know which faction you're most excited about. You know, what faction are you going to be playing Chancellor Palpatine on? Is it going to be in a Sith Infiltrator or an ARC 170? You know, the choice is yours.
And this is only the start of our conversation about these two factions. Once we get these ships in hand, obviously we'll get some games in with them. We'll get to see the full card pool and the point costs. So a lot more to talk about in the near future here. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to Facebook.com/Radio TCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going onto patreon.com/Radio TCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.